opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Here's how you count to eight, three, two, one. And for the eighth time, college basketball's national championship trophy is coming home to Kentucky. C-A-T-S. Champs, champs, champs.
Oh, it's a sea of blue. It's beautiful.
It's awesome.
Oh my gosh, they're crazy. They're the most dedicated fans I've ever seen.
Going blue!
Big Blue Nation, show your Wildcat pride and band together with the podcasts. All the UK propaganda you can handle.
All right, welcome into another edition of the podcasts. I'm Kenny Colston. Alongside me, as always, is Chris Littrell. Chris, tell the world hello.
Hello, world.
There you go. Well, it's been an interesting week in the SEC because this week was SEC Media Days, which for, I'm going to just go out on a limb and say like at least 14 out of the 12 of the 14. I'm trying to add two new SEC members without them being official yet, but at least 12 of the 14 schools in the SEC, this is the biggest week outside of a regular season that there could possibly be. 4 days of SEC Media Days, coaches, players, media. It's been crazy down in Birmingham, or is it Birmingham or Hoover? I think it's Hoover.
Yeah, it's Hoover, right? Hoover. Outside of Birmingham.
Right, yeah, because that's the SEC offices are like in that suburb of Hoover. So, anyways, long story short, it's been a football week. Here's the bad news: we don't really have a good football team, Chris. Not yet. Mm. We're getting there.
It's what everyone's saying.
We're getting there. I have full faith in Mark Stoops that we're getting there. But for the time being, after back-to-back 2-10 seasons, I just can't get excited for SEC Media Days quite yet. But there was some news. I think there's some tidbits. You know, the good news is the local beat reporters all still go down there. I think maybe next year we're going to have to talk to Louisville.am. Maybe they can send us. Maybe someone can sponsor a trip down for us, and we'll just record drunken antics the whole time.
That would be great. We need a sponsor.
Let's just make a pitch now. We would like to go to any game possible. So if anyone wants to pay for us to go to a game, maybe Baton Rouge, LSU, never been, heard it's fun. You know, you can sponsor us, and we'll pretty much do anything that you want us to do on the radio. We'll record all of it. We do have some ground rules, so not anything, but almost anything.
We'll wear t-shirts that will advertise your business.
Yeah, I'll do everything. I was going to say a tattoo, but maybe not. A temporary tattoo.
There you go.
On my forehead, if you sponsor us. But it's temporary. Temporary tattoo on my forehead, and I'll wear it, and that's fine. But you got to pay for everything. So there's our pitch. Sponsor the podcasts. Other people have done it. What are you waiting for? But anyways, so maybe next year we'll get a sponsor, and we'll head down there. But this year we weren't down there, so all we have to do is glean off the multiple reports of people who were there. Also, on a side note, this week is also the Peach Jam. If you're really big into recruiting, I think there's a lot of basketball news, but these guys, I can't get into that yet. So, you know, there's that news out there. There were a couple of football commits, a junior from Paducah who plays quarterback now, would probably play a wide receiver. He committed. We had a recommit of a safety, Marcus Wilson, 4-star guy, recommitted to UK after decommitting. I think a 3-star corner out of Ohio committed. So there's been some commitments on the football front, and there's been some...
and just to add to that, it really looks like Mark Stoops is going to overtake Louisville for getting all the best players in the state. I think that's one thing that needs to be mentioned, is that I think all the good players now are looking at Kentucky.
Well, that's fantastic. You know, he's basically owning Ohio. He's beating maybe not for the 5-star guys, but he's beating Ohio State, Michigan State, some good schools for 4-star kids, 3- and 4-star kids. So, I mean, they have Ohio on lock. They're opening a pipeline to D.C. We've talked about this before, how it's kind of good to get away from that whole South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Texas mentality and trying to recruit the SEC, because that's just all locked up. There's just nothing there. left. You know, you're getting absolute table scraps. So he's going to Ohio, going to D.C., grabbing some good kids. And, you know, when Kentucky was on the last time Kentucky was on the top side of this rivalry with Louisville in the Rich Brooks era, it was because they were getting all the best kids in the state. Now, the best kids in the state aren't going to win you an SEC championship. They're not. No, they're not counting
like that. Two or three of them.
Right. But you need to lock down those two or three that are good, that are SEC quality or big school quality, whatever you want to call it. And then you need to have the other guys who are going to fight hard in the Louisville game, who are going to do the little things, stuff like that. I mean, you can't lose them to Western and Louisville. You can't, and win that rivalry game. So, you know, I did see on – I wasn't going to bring this up, but I did see that the CJ kind of posed the question, why does Bobby Petrino suck at recruiting so bad? That was the headline. If you actually read the story, they made a lot of excuses for him where it was like, oh, well, he's got JUCOs. Oh, well, he's getting these transfers. Oh, well, anytime you have a new head coach who comes in, it's really hard to salvage the recruiting class. And I'm like, not Mark Stoops. Mark Stoops went above and beyond when he came in. A lot of guys go above and beyond when he comes in. But the fact of the matter is Bobby Petrino is a snake, no matter what reformation he says. And mamas and daddies don't want to send their kid to a school. And the guy doesn't – the players don't really want to go where the dude lies all the time. Like, his whole career is about lying. Bobby Petrino's whole career is about lying. Lying about staying, lying about cheating on his wife, lies, lies, lies. And he's a good football coach. I wanted him here at Kentucky. We've talked about this. Hell of a football coach. But he sucks at recruiting. He's always sucked, and that's because he can't tell the truth.
Maybe Tom Jurich will go recruit for him since Tom Jurich is so awesome in everything.
Maybe, maybe. But enough about those stinking Cardinals. We got sidetracked. SEC Media Days. The big news for Kentucky this week was the SEC Media votes every year for the champion of both conferences and the overall. I don't know if they do the overall champion. I think they do the champion of both divisions because football still has divisions. And so, and they kind of rank them based on their votes. And the big news for Kentucky is once again, Kentucky was picked last in the SEC. Last. Dead last. So, I don't know if that's true or not. It's an easy vote if I'm a media member. I guess if I had the ballot, I would have voted the same way, Chris. I mean, I guess, well, I'm a little biased, so probably not. But I look at that and I'm saying, okay, yeah, Auburn, Alabama, LSU, all those teams. Okay, I understand that. South Carolina, Georgia, that's five teams. But I'm looking, and maybe you can tell me if I'm supremely biased or not, because this guy's in trouble last year. Remember we predicted a bowl last year?
Oh, yeah.
Oops. So let me walk through this real quickly. Okay, I'm looking at Arkansas, which has a murder's row of a schedule. They have a good coach. They don't recruit very well, and I don't know that he's made out for the SEC. So I could see Arkansas bottoming out. You know, Ole Miss is good, so Ole Miss should be ranked in front of Kentucky. They're a good school. I could see Ole Miss jumping into, like, even third in the SEC West. Texas A&M is probably better than Kentucky. They have, I mean, their defense sucks, but, I mean, Sumlin's been recruiting well. So, but Arkansas is a question mark for me. And Mississippi State's a question mark for me. I like Dan Mullen, but I don't know what he's going to – we'll find out. We play Mississippi State. But that was a game where Kentucky, I think, was relatively close last year when they were awful. And yeah. So I'm just curious. You know, I'm like, all right, looking across the division, I have questions about Arkansas and Mississippi State right off the bat. The rest of them, the other four schools, okay, yeah, or five schools, whatever. Yeah, I get it. A&M, Auburn, Alabama, LSU, you know, I get all of that. I understand Ole Miss. I understand why they're ranked in front of Kentucky. On the SEC East side, I get Georgia. Even though they're losing Aaron Murray and a few guys out of their secondary, I understand it. They're going to be, you know, South Carolina, completely understand it. I don't understand Florida. Because Florida is bad and is only getting worse, but history says that Florida is better than Kentucky, so I guess I get that vote. Missouri has lost its top wide receiver, its quarterback, you know, a bunch of people.
The SEC player of the year on defense.
Right. Well, yeah, I don't really know if he's that good of a football player anyways, but it's a different topic for a different day. Missouri's lost a lot. They surprised.
He plays hard.
Right. There were a lot of surprise. Yeah. Missouri was a surprise last year. I'm not sure they're going to be as big as a surprise this year. I think people didn't think highly of them and didn't prepare for them. So, question mark at Missouri. And then you've got Vanderbilt, new coach, a lot of decommitments. That recruiting class is basically wrecked. They've had some high-profile transfers and people leaving. They've had some issues. First-time head coach in the SEC. Go ask Mark Stoops what that is like. I have serious questions whether Vanderbilt is going to be better than Kentucky this year. I think that's a legitimate question. Now, that might be the game for last place, you know, but it's a legitimate question. Tennessee loses, I think, 90% of its snaps on the offensive line. That's trouble in the SEC. Loses major contributors from their defensive line. That's a problem in the SEC. But Butch Jones did a decent job last year, as much as I hate to say it, and he had a decent recruiting class. I don't think it was better than Kentucky's, but I'm not heavy into recruiting. So I have questions about Arkansas, Mississippi State, Vanderbilt, and Tennessee. So that's four other teams where I'm like, I don't see it, you know. I don't see how steadfastly you can rank those teams, especially Vanderbilt out of all of them, above Kentucky, other than it's just easy to. It's easy to put the team that was in last place this year, or last year, or the last 2 years, and hasn't won a league game in 2 years, back in last place. But maybe you have a different take. Maybe you can tell me I'm drinking too much blue Kool-Aid and this team will finish last.
First of all of these reporters, the guys that cover the SEC or cover college football, I think you pretty much know that really, do they know anything more than just, you know, the average college football fan who watches the games all day on Saturday and is totally into it all season long? Those guys don't know any more than anyone else. So they're just going on history. You know, it's hard to argue their points or the standings that they've come up with before the season starts. It's easy to say that Kentucky's going to be the worst team in the SEC because all those guys do is they look back on the last couple of years. We went 2-10. And they say, oh, well, yeah, Kentucky sucks. They always have. Vanderbilt has had some really good years the last 2 or 3 years, gone to some bowl games, beat Florida. So to those reporters, you know, they're the trendy team right now. So, yeah, they're going to pick Vanderbilt over Kentucky. You know, you got to beat them. That's what it comes down to. If you're Kentucky, you got to beat some of these guys to get these reporters' attention, like a guy that's, you know, going to SEC media days and he's the Mississippi State beat reporter. He doesn't know anything about Kentucky any more than we do. He doesn't know as much about Kentucky as you and I or Kentucky fans, someone who lives in this area knows about him. And I mean, that's across the board when it comes to news, you know, whether it's hard news or sports or anything. The reporters are not the experts that they want us to think they are. Now, having said that, I do think it's going to be tough, you know, for Kentucky to win more than four games this year. Just, you know, looking down that schedule. Yeah, Tennessee's struggling, and that's one of the games that I think, you know, that I kind of have circled on the schedule that Kentucky has to win, but they have to go to Knoxville to do it. Second last game of the year. They're going to be a little beat up by the time that game, you know, comes around on the schedule. And the Vanderbilt game, that's the fourth game of the year. You talk about a must win game for Kentucky. That's going to swing their season one way or the other. And it's going to come before we even get out of the month of September. That game is in Lexington. It's going to be coming. They're going to have a 2 week break. They're going to go down to Gainesville, and then they're going to have 2 weeks off to get ready for Vanderbilt. But to me, that Vanderbilt game, fourth game of the year, most important game on the schedule. I mean, I really feel that way, because if you look at Kentucky's schedule, they have a pretty good chance to be 4-2 halfway through the season. They got to beat Tennessee Martin. They got to beat Ohio. They got to beat Louisiana Monroe to get there. By the way, all of those teams, none of those three teams, the non-conference games, none of those three teams had a losing record last year. Tennessee, Martin, Ohio had winning records last year, and Louisiana Monroe was 6-6 last year. So those aren't exactly, you know, bona fide. Yeah, go ahead.
Just to interrupt you, I've already seen quite a few experts, like national experts, and even like one or two Vegas odds makings, pretty much put that Kentucky Ohio game at even right now.
Yeah,
I mean Ohio could win the MAC, which it is the MAC, and we're an SEC school, but it's Ohio's coming to Commonwealth Stadium before and played spoiler. So,
yeah, Ohio is coached by Frank Solich, who was Bill Osborne's handpicked successor at Nebraska, or Tom Osborne. I'm sorry, Tom Osborne's handpicked successor at Nebraska. Frank Solich has taken Nebraska to the national championship game, so the guy knows how to build a program, knows how to run a program. He's a good coach. Ohio is no slouch. Fertile recruiting grounds there. They always have a competitive team. So, you know, like I said, if the stars align and the best case scenario plays out, Kentucky could be 4-2 halfway through the season. But then, you know, the murderer's row begins. LSU, you know, you talked about Mississippi State. You're not sure about them. Mississippi State has one of the better quarterbacks in the SEC. They finished their season on a high note last year. They beat Ole Miss in the Egg Bowl. It was a really exciting game. I remember watching it come back and really emotional for them. So, you know, they went into the offseason on a really high note. You know, Missouri, don't know much about them. Georgia is going to be Georgia. Tennessee, you know, we were talking about this before the game started. Butch Jones, I don't know where Tennessee's at really right now. Butch Jones, this is the first time that he's walked into a negative situation. He took over for Brian Kelly at Central Michigan, and Brian Kelly had that program, you know, poised as like a lower echelon top 25 team. Butch Jones rode that wave, and he replaced Brian Kelly again at Cincinnati and walked into an excellent situation there. You know, the cupboard was stocked with Brian Kelly recruits. They were just coming off that undefeated season, and he parlayed that gig into Tennessee, and it was the first time that he went to a program that was on a downward trend rather than an upward trend. So I really don't know much about what can Butch Jones do. Can he build a program, or is he just the guy that comes in to a good situation, he's able to maintain it, and then, you know, move on to something better? He's coming to Tennessee, who has had, you know, they were on the downward trend when Fulmer was there. Then Kiffin came in for a year and really did some damage there. Maybe not so much recruiting, but just the way he left, and I think he really riled up the fan base and just left it in a really bad situation. Derek Dooley was, you know, kind of a flop. So now comes Butch Jones at Tennessee. I just don't know what to expect from this guy. I don't know if he can get them back to where they were. So I really look at Tennessee as being the team that I think Kentucky needs to gun for in this conference more than anyone else. I think Tennessee is the most vulnerable team right now, especially in the East Division, and with just the blood feud rivalry between Kentucky and Tennessee. We don't maybe think about it as much living up here in the northern, you know, part of Kentucky. I live in southern Indiana, but I think the farther south you travel, if you live south of Lexington and you're a big Kentucky fan, I think Tennessee is the team that you really hate, maybe even more so than Louisville. I mean, I might be wrong, but I know that there's a serious rivalry between the two down there in that region. So I really think that Tennessee is the team that Kentucky needs to set their sights on and say, here's who we need to overtake and establish ourselves in this division. And so that game to me is a, you know, circle it on the calendar game. I think that's one where you really, if you're Kentucky, you come out of that Tennessee game and that's where you can say, okay, here's where we're at and here's where we need to be.
Yeah, I agree that Tennessee has always been. I think Tennessee and South Carolina have been the teams that you need to shoot for in the SEC. You can probably put Missouri in there. For Kentucky to be successful in football, I think they need to absolutely finish in front of Vanderbilt and in a good year finish ahead of Tennessee and Missouri. And that puts them, you know, middle of the SEC pack, and I think that's reasonable to think of Kentucky football there in a year in and year out basis. Maybe some years Missouri finishes above you but generally, obviously always above Tennessee, but and Vanderbilt. But yeah, here's the thing. You know, the media haven't picked the true SEC champion in like a long, long time. You know, no one had Missouri last year or Auburn. They picked Alabama this year, And that's a 33% chance. Alabama's going to be good, don't get me wrong. But the defending runner-up, Auburn, is bringing back pretty much the whole team, and all the important players. And then don't sleep on LSU, which is going to have a sick, sick defense this year. Lost some stuff on the offensive side, but you can never really count out LSU. So it's a 1-3 shot. South Carolina, they named SEC East champion. I think that's just because they probably have the most returning, and it's probably about time that Steve Spurrier won an SEC East crown at South Carolina.
Got to have a new quarterback down there. That's always hard to accomplish great things when you're got a new quarterback behind center. Same with Alabama.
Right. But if there were two teams, two coaches that you knew could break in a quarterback, Nick Saban would be one because he never asked his quarterback to do hardly anything. Right. And the other one would be Spurrier. Even though he has short leashes, you know that he has some gunslinger on the roster there on the depth chart at quarterback that he'll just throw in a game and just start unloading. The dude might throw four picks, but he's going to throw six touchdowns too.
Yeah.
So always a question. Will Kentucky finish last? Maybe. I mean, history says yes, but if this program will rise up, they won't. It's something to talk about. The media obviously isn't perfect. You got a lot of guys who ask they're supposed to be non-biased, but there's a lot of we's and us and ours. They come out of SEC media days, and they wear the glasses just as bad as we do at times. So, very interesting. Chris, I'm curious. We've talked a little bit. I don't want to get too far into the football season. We're going to have a solid month and a half to really get into this. But now that we've talked about this, I know you've made some games that you think Kentucky is important or they need to win. So, it's the middle of July. Without, really breaking down each game, maybe highlighting a few that you think are pivotal, what do you think this team's record will be?
Well, I think that there are four winnable games on this schedule, and that's out of six games that they have a chance to win. So I'm looking at the schedule out of 12 games. Half of them I think they could be in the game with an opportunity to win, and that would be Tennessee Martin, Ohio, Vanderbilt, Louisiana Monroe, and then I'm going to say Tennessee, and I'm going to say the last one will be Louisville at the end of the year because I just kind of wonder if Louisville really knows what it's going up against. They lost quite a bit of talent on their team as well. New coach, new conference. Who knows what that program is going to be like on November 29th? And who knows what Kentucky's going to be like, too. There's going to be some injuries and stuff that you just don't foresee. But I think those six games are the ones that stick out to me the most. I mean, they're not going to win all six of them. That is best case scenario. But I think that if this team could go 4-8, that it would be moving in the right direction, doubling their win total from the last 2 years, winning as many games as they won in the last 2 years combined. They have to win the Tennessee, Martin, the Ohio, and the Monroe games. And like I said earlier, not those teams aren't pushovers by any stretch. All had none of them had losing records last year. Let's put it that way. But, it's the Vanderbilt and the Tennessee games. Those are the two, to me, that are the two big games that are going to swing this season one way or the other. Both teams in our division, which will be huge, just to establish Kentucky as, being over them in the division. But four games. If they could beat Vanderbilt or Tennessee, I think you're going in the right direction. This team just needs to get an SEC win. Which I don't think they've gotten since they beat Tennessee. Would that be Joker's last game as the coach? So yeah, just to get off the schneid there, get an SEC win, win those three non-conference games besides Louisville, and then hopefully beat Louisville to end the season. That would be the crown jewel on a successful season right there. But I think four wins, and I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the standard. I think that's your average UK fan is looking for that four wins. Double your win total from last year. Beat an SEC school or Louisville. Show some progress. And they're happy. you know, the players down there at SEC Media Days were talking about a bowl. And you mentioned it's not out of the realm of possibility, but they would have to get mighty lucky, I would think. I would think they would have to – I mean, things would just have to break just the right way. It's not out of the realm of possibility. I also think the Mississippi State and Missouri games are possibilities.
I was going to say to go to a bowl, they would have to beat them.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, so you've got distant possibilities there, in addition to the Tennessee, Vanderbilt, Louisville – you know, in the non-conference. So there's more possibilities on the schedule. Then again, you still have Florida, which I would love to say Florida's a possibility, but until they're competitive with Florida, you just can't say that. No matter how bad Florida is, Kentucky's just not competitive with them. We always play Georgia tough. I don't think we'll be competitive with South Carolina. There's no way we're going to be competitive with LSU. But outside of that, I mean...
And, you know, you look at the Missouri and the Tennessee games, too. Those are road conference games. To go on the road and get a win for this team would be just monumental from a mental standpoint. I mean, those guys – I mean, is there a guy – I'll go on a limb and say that there's not a guy on – well, was the Tennessee win, was Joker's win, was that at Tennessee?
It was at home.
Okay, it was at home. So – it's safe to say there's not a guy on this roster who's won a road SEC game.
No, I don't believe so.
Right.
So yeah.
So to go
huge.
On the road, I mean, can you imagine what that would do for the psyche of the entire program?
Well, that's why I say they're distant. If they were at home, I think they could match up a lot better. But being on the road, it'd be really tough. It just depends on how, you know, without looking at the schedule and really. You know, looking hard at it. But, I'm going to go with four right now, too. I think that's a safe bet. Anything less, and I think you're going to see some decommitments. Recruiting is going to take a hit. Anything more is going to be a blessing. So I think four – Vegas has it at, I think, like 3.5. Some of them have it 3.5. Some of them have it 4.5 wins in the season. That pretty much tells me it's going to be four, you know. Give or take, it's going to be four wins this year.
And let me just add to that, too, and I was thinking about this before we, got together this morning. There's no doubt in my mind that this team is going to be better than it was last year. There's no doubt in my mind. This team has been coached better than it will have been coached in the last two or three years, 4 years, maybe 5 years, since Rich Brooks left. I mean, let's be honest. Joker, you know, this isn't – I'm not going to start bashing him, but – just to put it in a nutshell, he just wasn't head coach material in the SEC. That was evident by all of the events that transpired leading up to his firing. I just think that the staff that we have in place now knows how to coach kids, knows, and they have a right and they have earned the right to be coaches in the SEC. You know, say whatever you want about Mark Stoops. The guy knows how to coach. He comes from a family that's known how to coach. It's had a lot of success. He's been around football all his life. I believe in the guy. I think he knows what he's doing. And there's just no doubt in my mind that this team will definitely be improved over what we've seen the last two or three years. So that gives me a little bit of optimism going into this season. Not a lot, just because of the talent on the roster, but I truly believe that this team will play harder, play better, play smarter, and just be better than they've been in a long time.
I think it's hard to argue otherwise. One other thing, if you all haven't read Kyle Tucker's one-on-one with Neil Brown, the offensive coordinator, about the quarterbacks, he talks pretty extensively about what he likes in each of the three main quarterback candidates, Patrick Toles, Reese Phillips, and Drew Barker. He even mentions Maxwell Smith, who Brown says is just, if he was healthy, he would be in the mix, but the guy's on a pitch count is what he called it. And I wouldn't be surprised to see a redshirt season out of Maxwell Smith. The only reason why you don't get a medical redshirt out of him is if he just doesn't want it, you know, if he just wants to not hold back for another year looking at the recruiting classes. So, but it looks like the fall race, just based on what, you know, Neil Brown said, is that it's really down to Toles and Reese Phillips. Phillips seems to be the level-headed guy. I don't want to curse him by saying he's a Mike Hartline type of player because I think he's more talented. But as much crap as I gave Mike Hartline when he was at UK, The dude was fairly consistent, and that seems to be, you know, just read Neil Brown's comments. I don't want to make it seem like Reese Phillips is the second coming of Mike Hartline, because that invokes a lot of feelings. But Neil Brown really talks about how consistent he is, how he doesn't really get rattled. Tolles apparently the reason why he's the starter coming out of the spring. Of course, they haven't named a starter, but the leader coming out of the spring is because he did really well in scrimmages, game type situations. And Barker, they're very complimentary of him as well. So if you haven't checked that out, make sure to go read that. We couldn't possibly break it all down, and I would hate to try to rehash what Neil Brown actually says about his quarterbacks. But if you haven't checked that out, that was kind of an interesting read. It makes me think that unless Drew Barker really takes a leap here in the summer, or one of the quarterback candidates takes a leap, it's the fall race will probably be between Tolles and Phillips, which is very interesting, and which I'm kind of happy about. I've said many times, I'm not entirely sure you want Drew Barker starting this year, not because he's not talented, but how many true freshmen do you really throw to the wolves in the SEC and they turn out okay?
And I'm not opposed at all to the concept of Barker redshirting this year. I don't know what the word is with the staff or what Drew Barker would think about that, but just looking long term at this program, the recruiting success of the last year leading up to next year's freshmen coming in, and then maybe the class or two after that, I wonder if maybe this year wouldn't just be burning a year of his eligibility. I mean, you might need him in an emergency situation if he's your third string quarterback and two guys go down. I mean, it is the SEC, but you know, that's just my own thought. I haven't heard anything from anything official from the coaching staff or what Drew Barker's thoughts on that might be. But to me, it would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the redshirt Barker if he's not gonna start theory. Hopefully they go that route. But I mean, I trust this staff knows what it's doing. It held a redshirt on Tolles last year when it didn't have to. It could have burned it. Held a redshirt on Reese Phillips when it really could have burned it and didn't have to. So I trust that these guys are looking long term. They've already shown that they're looking long term, and not willing to ruin some careers. I just wonder what the career of Tolles could have been had he not been thrown to the fire so quickly with Joker Phillips and gotten injured. You know, Maxwell Smith, same thing. I mean, you just wonder what if, but we could play that game all day. Chris, is there anything else you want to get to before we wrap up the show this week?
Well, we got basketball right around the corner. Trip to the Bahamas coming up next month. So got that to look forward to. Little sneak peek at them before we get back into football. Other than that, I'm out.
Yeah, just one update on that. I'm glad you brought that up. It appears Comcast has struck a deal for the SEC network. Not confirmed yet. Of course, some of Kentucky, I think Western Kentucky, has Comcast. Most of the state still has Time Warner, which is being bought out by Comcast, but there's no way that deal's getting done in the next month, fellas. So currently still, I think only Dish and AT&T U-verse. There's going to be 6 Bahama games. The first 3 will be televised by ESPNU. The second 3 will be televised on the SEC network. And a funny little thing I saw, I think it might have been Thomas Biesner of CN2 tweeted out, you know, Carl Towns will play for Kentucky during this little Bahamas stretch, 2 games against the Dominican Republic national team. I think one of the games is on like the 19th or something like that, the second Dominican Republic game. So Carl Towns is going to be playing against his own national team, and then 3 days later playing for them in another tune-up in New York. So that's going to be kind of interesting to watch him go against his teammates for 2 games and then rejoin them like nothing happened. So that's kind of one of those funny little storylines that we'll get into as those games roll around. But it's been an interesting week if you're a fan of football. Hopefully one day, maybe next year even, we can get more excited about the SEC Media Days. Until then, we'll just sign off as we always do. Go Cats!
Go Cats!